as to what's being thought, what's being done, and to communicate how we ought to vote and how we ought not to vote. By the way, I disagree with any preacher, any organization, any denominational dogma that says that the pastor ought not to talk about politics from the pulpit. Listen very carefully. God created the home, God created government, and he created the church, and in that order. Anything that I talk about government, about the church, and about the home, all found in Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:20. May I say to you, it's all biblical, and we ought not to step back and take second place in society today. Not only do we see the description of the image, but I want you to notice the dedication of the image, the celebration, the command, the caution. Notice then in verses 7 through 12, the determination of the invitees, the celebration of the determination of the invitees. All the people heard the music, they followed the king's orders, and the caution is given to them. In that seventh verse, notice what the scripture says. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all the kinds of the music, all the people of the nations and the languages, all fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. You don't see any questions, you don't see any rebuttal, you don't see any remonstration against it. You see they all simply followed and were obedient to what the king had demanded that they do. May I say again, when you get to an intersection, that sign says STOP, it means slide tires on pavement. If you go through, you can be hurt. There are a lot of things that our government says. Listen, I can say this authoritatively. I've had the privilege down through the years to walk through some higher education legislation in the Capitol in Tallahassee. I can say without any question, I've dealt with enough legislation that I know how the sausage is made. It's not necessarily the words in the legislation, but after the legislation is passed, there must be someone that sits down and makes the determination how it's going to be carried out. It is the legislation that is done, that is the work that is done behind the scenes with no one that's been elected making the decision. It's an enabling legislation. How do we enforce this word? How do we enforce this segment? How do we carry out the enforcement of this paragraph? And it's those that are unelected that's making those decisions that we find so egregious in most of the legislation that's passed today. And yet Christians somehow, some way, have been groomed into believing that it's all right for them to do that without us saying anything about it or complaining. I want us to notice, first of all, the compliance of the majority. It became politically correct. The correct attitude, the correct action. It was expedient to worship the king and the king's image, to bow down to the mandate of that day. That's what it was, a mandate. It was expedient. The people saw that. All the primary leaders, all the people following the leaders, found that it was expedient and the best thing to do was simply bow down. The music played. The majority of the people fell before the false god and worshiped. Today, most will comply to any mandate that's given. The Surgeon General just made two very important statements in the past 30 days. First of all, the Surgeon General said that we need to put a warning sign on all social media. And you read the wording of what he said. He said to prevent them from witnessing some horrific things being done. Also to prevent them from seeing sexual material. So we need to put a label, warning label, on social media. They're using the idea that we need to protect our kids to have the authority from government to clamp down on what is done and said on social media. It's part of the censorship movement that's taking place in America. Then this past week, he said we ought to also recognize that weapons, guns, have a major, major medical connotation. Medical emergency could be presented as a result of that. They're wanting to, via the Surgeon General, set the stage so that if necessary, we already told there's another pandemic on the way. They're calling it the bird flu. And one has said, Robert Redfield has said, that 1/4 of those that get it would die. So therefore, we're going to have to do something, he says, as a result. I believe it's setting the stage for saying that we cannot get out and vote in November, that it must be done by mail-in ballot so that millions of ballots that are fraudulent can go in. By the way, 19 million, according to the statisticians, have come in. That's the illegal invaders in America. They say over 2 million have already been registered to vote in the blue cities and the blue states. If 10% of that 2 million vote, it can throw the election in a heartbeat. We need to realize what the stage that's being set and what the government is attempting to do to force the Christians, the conservatives, the patriots to bow and say, yes, government, rather than saying we're going to obey God rather than government. May I say, these people in this text, the music played and they fell down. Aristotle said this. I'm not a fan of Aristotle, but I'll read you one of his statements. Music has a power to form character. Music can be used to worship God, but music can also drag people down toward hell. Further, Aristotle said, much can be learned about a society by the kind of music they choose. Whether we find depraved music, we will find a society filled with immorality and permissiveness. Music reflects our spiritual and moral condition. This is the reason you find in so many churches today, it's the rock and roll music. Many churches today, you can't tell whether you're in a rock and roll concert, a juke joint, as I'd call it, understood it back as I was growing up less than 100 years ago, or whether you're in a church. Most churches today are painting the walls black with the strobe lights and the black ceiling, et cetera, with smoke machines and so forth and so on to set the stage. I believe that it's demonic and right out of the pits of hell, and I believe the church needs to get back to doing what God calls us to do as a church, in worshiping God, pleasing Him, and being salt and light in a dead, darkened, dying society in which we're living in today. They bowed down. May I say, it's easy to follow the crowd, to bow with the crowd. It takes conviction. It takes courage. It takes Christians to stand and not to bow in the society in which we're living in this era. Notice not only do we see the compliance of the majority, but notice the complaint of the mockers. The complaint of the mockers in verse 8 through 12. They had the snitch system then. They had the misinformation, disinformation telegraph going on then. And after all bowed and worshiping the king's image as he had commanded they do, there were some snitches in the crowd. They wanted to report back to the king that everybody wasn't doing what the king had said. Verse 8, for example, says, wherefore, at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, they spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the music, etc., etc. Verse 11, and whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Notice the complainers, those that are the compliant majority, and then the complaint of the mockers. There's the snitch system. These elite leaders came to the king and whispered in his ear and said, King, I thought you made an order. I thought you issued a decree. I thought you said everybody is supposed to bow at that music. When the order went out in this city by Rhino Mayor, Lenny Curry said that every church needed to close. You need to wear masks. By the way, I got thrown out of three places for refusing to put a mask on. Hadn't put one on yet. You realize 146 studies have been made on masks? The N95 mask supposed to be the best one out there. The openings in the N95 mask are 3 microns. The COVID virus is 1 micron. OSHA website said it's like putting a chain link fence up to keep the gnats out. And yet, Emperor Fauci said we need to perhaps put on 3, maybe 4, and put a shield on. Can you imagine? I saw a lady the other day in the grocery store. She had a huge mask on. You can barely see eyeballs as she's walking down the aisle. On one occasion, one was walking down the aisle. I'm walking down, and she saw me with no mask. She did this number and walked right on by me. We need to recognize we've been lied to and deceived. Sir Anthony Fauci now says that there was no real science about the mask. There were no real science that said that we need to be 6 foot in distancing. There was no real science that said that you could catch the COVID pathogen by simply breathing on somebody. In fact, you know, the emperor in California, Gavin Newsom, restricted people from even going to the beach, said the COVID could be waving across the waves and breathe the ocean waves and get COVID. That's the brilliance of our governmental system today. By the way, if I can just put a little Youngblood parenthetical footnote, Gavin Newsom, Michelle Obama, and Hillary Clinton are salivating right now for Joe Biden to step aside. And I believe that he will before November the 5th. I believe Hillary Clinton will be on the ballot because she's already come out of the closet, come out from under the bed and taken her mask off, and the real Hillary Clinton is showing up. She says, I've debated Donald Trump twice. I know how to do it. I could win the debate. She is setting herself up. I believe Barack Obama, that's carrying out his third term through the puppet Joe Biden, I believe behind the scenes they're setting the stage now for the transfer of power, and I believe that will be done prior to November the 5th. Listen to what I'm saying. I don't believe Joe Biden will be on the ballot November the 5th. Now, there's some states that his name's already there and it cannot be changed, so it'll be an insert for one rather than him. That's just my most humble opinion. I've watched the manipulation of our system enough to realize and recognize what is taking place. But in this text, we find the minority, the complaint or the mockers. They say there's some king that's not falling down in worship. There's some that's not being obedient to your command. Today, the kids say to a parent, everybody's doing it. Why can't I? The mindset is that because some wear a mask, you need to wear a mask. Because some are still 6 foot separating, we need to be the 6 foot separation. We need to simply obey what the government says. Do you realize if you listen to the Communist Network News, you'll never know what's going on in America? Do you recognize that I've had people say, well, you know, you're saying this and you're saying that. Where do you get that news from? I watch the news every day and I don't hear that. I say, you're watching the wrong news. And up until just a few years ago, back 20, 30, 40 years ago, I used to think the news was the real deal. Whatever they said was really happening. It's simply not true today. The Communist Network News is going to tell you what they want us to understand and do so that we'll all fall down and worship as we find in this text that is before us today. The compliance of the majority, the complaint of the mockers. But notice the courage of the minority in verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods. That should be a praise hallelujah text right there in that one phrase. Serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Listen to what the scripture is telling us. We see the courage of three out of the crowd. Three out of the crowd said, we're not going to bow. Three out of the crowd, if you put it in the young budman, said, we're not going to put on a mask. Three out of the crowd said, we're not going to do the six-foot separation. Three out of the crowd said, we're not going to close our churches on Sunday and let the government tell us that we cannot worship God. Three made the decision that we're simply not going to do what the government says, because three says we're going to serve God and not serve government is the mindset. May I say, they did so because of a conviction and a courage that they were not compromised. Listen, the decision of no compromise ought not to be made at the point in the threshold of the potentiality for compromise. The decision to say no should be done now before the opportunity for compromise takes place. The decision needs to be done now for the child of God, for the Christian to say, we're going to serve God regardless of what society says and does. We're going to stand for Jesus Christ regardless of what the schools say or do. We're going to stand for the Word of God regardless of what the general opinion and feelings are from Washington and the Oval Office. We see the courage that refused to bow. They looked around. Everybody's bowing. They looked around. Listen, these young men looked around. They saw everybody bowing, but they weren't willing to hurt their witness. They were not willing to compromise their convictions. They were unwilling to go with the crowd because the crowd was doing it. We're in a society today where everybody says, well, the world is doing it. It's legal. The government says it. We need to do it. I think it's time that we come out from among them and be ye separate. I think it's time that we say no to the wickedness of the world. I think it's time that the church be seen and recognized as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look different, act different, talk different, even smell different, as I've said. Remember the 12 spies? Numbers chapter 13 and 14, 12 spies went out. 12 spies came back in. They had a vote. Majority won. 10 said we can't possess the land. 2 said we can. As a result of disobedience and disbelief in God, they suffered in the wilderness for 40 years. I believe it's time we realize what we ought to do in serving the Lord. What do you do today? Do you follow what the crowd says? Do you follow what the crowd wants you to do? Listen, the mindset is, if I'm with a bunch of men, and listen, men, I can talk about us because I are one. A bunch of men can be around and some filthy garbage mouth starts telling a joke. Do you stand and laugh and listen? Or do your conviction and your courage say, I'll not let my ear be a garbage pail. I'll not listen. And to our young people today, there needs to be the mindset that says, I'm not going where you're going. I'm not listening to what you're listening to. I'm not going to view the images on my handheld device. I'm not going to listen to the garbage music that you're involved in. I'm making a decision to stand for Jesus. And when the opportunity comes, I'll stand and say no to what the world says we ought to do. We need to decide now not to bow. We need to decide now not to do what the world says. Even as preachers, we must decide to stand alone if necessary. Don't bow to the popular philosophical rhetoric with this giving out today cotton candy theology, goosebump theology, and joined together, I call it voodoo theology, out of a pop-up church with pop-up preachers that could not find John 3:16 in most cases unless somebody points it to them. We need to recognize what the Word of God says and honor Him in our lives. Not only see the conviction that refused to bow, but I want you to notice verses 13 through 18. You never thought I'd get here, didn't you? Verses 13 through 18, the commitment that refused to bend. Notice the decree that is revealed in verse 13, 14, and 15. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, he was bent out of shape, he was ticked off. In his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these three men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, he said, boys, I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm going to warn you. I'm going to give you a second chance. He says in verse 15, Now, if be ready when you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music. Ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God? Listen, listen now. He makes a transition of arguing with these three young men. He makes a transition from challenging them, demeaning them, to challenging God and demeaning God. Notice what he says there. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and notice, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Listen, I could preach for the next 2 hours on these four or five verses. It is a fantastic challenge for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. It's a challenge for every child of God today to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Notice what the scripture is saying. Notice his callous anger that is taking place. He's in a rage. He's furious. He's been out of shape, as I said. He commanded these three young men with their conviction and their courage, he commanded them to be brought. And the king questioned them, Is it true? I can just hear it. Is it true? You do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Talk about being intimidated. You have the king that calls these three young lads in and challenges them. Think about the intimidation. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. God's not given us a spirit of fear. Listen, we ought not to be fearful of what's taking place in the world. We need to have the conviction and the courage to stand with a commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, regardless of what the world does, wherever the world goes, and whatever the world says that ought to be done today. We need to be able to say no. The government rules and the regulations that want to put us in a position that we will compromise. Some will compromise their conviction when pressure is put in and when they're pushed. Just say one Miller Lowlife, one Bud Dumber is okay. You ever had the bird say that? Just one night out is okay. Just one swing is all right. And ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand it is the matter that we need to make that decision. We're not going to disobey God. We're not going to in any way defame the character of God or destroy our witness before the world. Today, Joe Biden is angry. He's furious. I believe he hates Christians. I know he hates conservatives and patriots. I believe he hates Christians. Everything that we see taking place today is antithetical to anything that's called Christianity and the Word of God. I believe he needs to step aside. Now, Jill Biden, his wife, Dr. Jill, doesn't want to leave the White House. She bragged about Joe, said he answered every question on the debate night. I think it was a fiasco. I think that he showed up the very fact that I'd said before he was ever elected that he was cognitively depleted and ought not to run. Now listen, I'm not laughing at him. He can't help his physicality. But there, his handlers ought to be charged with senior abuse simply because he's simply the puppet. We need to recognize what is taking place in our society being very much like we see in the text that is before us. Should we obey what the government says if it is antithetical to the Word of God? No, 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 10,000 times no. Notice not only the callous anger, but notice the cynical antagonism. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my, talking about the government, out of my hand? I believe we've grown, fallen to the place and point and position in society today in America that the government says, I'm government, I'm your God, I'm the one. In fact, it was one of the legislators that almost a year ago now, when one of the other legislators on the floor at the pulpit or the speaker stand reading from the Bible, talking about why that legislation ought not to be considered because it was antithetical to the Scripture. And that legislator, one legislator said, the Word of God has no place in the halls of Congress. I believe we need to recognize that's true for most of them in D.C. today. Antithetical to anything that the Word of God says that we ought to do. The cynical antagonism. Who is that God? Here is the king now. Rather than having some way, some manner of saying that, you know, I disagree with you. This is your God and you're serving him. No. The king is angry and he's been out of shape. He's challenging God. He's challenging the creator and control of the universe. The king did not realize, as I said earlier, that he's now shifted his focus. He shifted his battle. He shifted his anger from these three Jewish young men. And now he's challenging God, the creator controller of the universe. He's challenging the one that gives breath and life in his body. The decree realized, but notice the dedication repeated. Now, if you forget everything else today, don't forget what these three young men did and what they said. Notice their courage is undisturbed. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, I like this verse. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know, the literal translation of that text, O king, we don't have to even respond to you. It's none of your business, king. It doesn't make any difference what you say or do. We're not subject to that because it's antithetical to our God. We don't even need to give you a response, they're saying. I just made a little note. Don't let the critics and the agnostics and the humanists and the secularists and the socialists and the Marxists and the atheists say anything that could intimidate you or me and what God's Word says that we ought to do. We need to stand, let our witness be seen, let our lives be illuminating, that others would see Jesus Christ in us, regardless of what the world thinks or says or does. They knew that their walk with God was more important than the popularity in the world. They faithed God and not government. Notice not only do we see their courage undisturbed, but notice their confidence undaunted. Verse 17, notice, they had confidence in the power of God. They had confidence that he would protect them. They had confidence that God is able to protect us and do what he will in our lives. I believe it's a soothing place to be when we get to the point and place that we place our faith and trust and confidence in God. Regardless of the storms, regardless of the wickedness in the world, regardless of what comes against us, regardless of who stands against us, regardless of what is said, it is a soothing position to say, God is able. My life, my living, my walk, my movements in the hands of God, and whatever God wants is all right for my life. old song that says, take my life and let it be only always used for thee, ought to be the mantra and the mandate of every child of God under the sound of my voice today. Their confidence undaunted. It was Job, if you remember in the book of Job. Job says, though he may slay me, yet will I trust him. They refused to bow. They refused to bend. They said, even if it means death, we're not going to bend. What could believers do today? What could we accomplish in the world today if we take that stand? If we would take the stand of confidence in God, faithing Him, trusting Him, and having courage to stand for Him, regardless of what the world says or does. Verse 18, we see the commitment unchanged. They said, listen to this carefully. If God does not deliver us from the fiery furnace, that's okay with me. If God wants us to walk through the fire, that's okay. If God wants me to die for faith in Him, that's all right. If God wants to put me in a position that everything is for naught, everything is lost, that's okay. My life, my living, my breath is in the hands of God.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You are invited to participate in a broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood and Let's Face the Issues. This program allows you, the listener, to call in and ask your questions about current issues. Dr. Youngblood deals with moral, ethical, and political issues that face our culture and the church. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 91.7 for expository preaching by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is the pastor founder of First Conservative Baptist Church and the founder president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues can be heard daily on 91.7, 91.3, and 91.9 at 11:30 a.m. Don't miss these relevant broadcasts. Invite others to tune in also. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, heard in Amelia Island at 91.3.
I'm Ruth Kramer with Mission Network News. Sudan is facing its worst humanitarian disaster in decades. While the civil war rages on, now 755,000 people are on the brink of starvation. Hunter Williamson with the Mar Elis ESD says they're coming alongside Sudanese pastors and equipping them to distribute aid in the name of Christ. Many people receiving aid end up coming to the church to learn more about Jesus and are finding hope. Then, Honduras is commonly known